Okay, let us continue from Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis towards the bottom. We are in the sugya of Kenivas Yerek. We were talking about do you have to make hekerim and separations of shofars, of tkiyas, and avdalas in between Yom Kippur and Shabbos when Yom Kippur falls down on Friday or on Sunday, which it can't bisman hazeh, but when they used to do kiddush al pi re'iyah, when they used to do it through witnesses, so it could fall out any day. Okay. So let us start from Amr Abzeira. That's what we're up to. So we're in the sugya of Kenivas Yerek, which we mentioned yesterday is the type of preparation that potentially could have, maybe Mutter, maybe Usser, we'll talk more about today, was done on the afternoon, late afternoon on Yom Kippur, either because Rashi says it's a kiyum of Inui, if you do this preparation and you're not allowed to eat the food, so then that adds to your affliction on Yom Kippur, and that's why, even though it's a potential Isser of tircha or of hachana or of or we'll get to another problem a little later. That's Rashi. Or the Ran, we said yesterday that the Ran says no, it's just to give you a little easier time, so that after the fast is over, so you don't have to sit there and start preparing, but you'll be able to prepare and cook it right away. So you'll peel it and do all the preparations and smoothing it out on Yom Kippur, and you can have it right away. So that's machlokas between Rashi and the Ra. So that's Kenivas Yerek. So says the Gemara, Amar Abzeir, about the middle of Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, right after the halfway part. Amar Abzeir, Rav Huna, Amar Mila, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Huna. Yom HaKippurim, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, also B'Kenivas Yerek. What happens if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos? Up till now, we were talking about when Yom Kippur falls out next to, before, or after. What happens if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos? So says the Gemara, then Usser B'Kenivas Yerek. Then it's Usser, even if you want to say that maybe it's Mutter in other years when Yom Kippur falls out on a weekday, but it's Usser when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. Amar of Manatanya Mihachi, we have a Brisa also. How do you know from a Pasuk that Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos is Usser to do this preparation? Tamalomar Shabbason. It says in the Pasuk, talking about Shabbos, Shabbason, by the Mon. So the Gemara says, Shabbason is mashma shvos. Mashma, you should rest. Shabbason shvos, you should rest. Lomai. So what is this referring to regarding what type of resting? Ilei malim malacha. If it's referring to that you should rest from malacha, can't be. B'haksiv lo sazakal malacha. It says that you have to, there's a separate pasuk that says you're not allowed to do work. So this pasuk of Shabbason, this asay, even though lo sazakal malacha is a lo sazay, but this asay of Shabbason, assuming that the asay and the lo sazay are work hand in hand, so that can't be referring to regular malacha. So what must he referring to? Something that's not included in losaza komalacha, and therefore it must be referred to kenivas yerek shmamina. Oh, so there's a machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos how to understand this line. Rashi seems to say, the bottom Rashi on the Amud, that really the kivan on a regular Shabbos, this would be asur mida oraisa. Look what Rashi said in the bottom Rashi. Alav l'kivas yerek ba'alma v'talosh b'midi la malacha kaya le'baseh de shabbason shbos. Really, Kenivas Yerek is not included in losasa komalacha. It's not a losasa because it's talush. It's separated already, so it's not kotzer, but it's included in the asay of Shabbason because Shabbason includes you should rest from things that even aren't malachos. The kivda midaraisa aser b'chol Shabbos Hashana hachalosh shirelim shemalakvas nefesh l'midcha yisur daraisa. Just because this year this Shabbos is Yom Kippur, and we said usually this adds to the agvas nefesh that a person has in Yom Kippur, still, but it's aser on Shabbos. It's a violation of Shabbason, and therefore Rashi says when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, you can't violate it because this is an Isser de Oraisa of Shabbason. As it's not an Isser, it's a Isser Asay de Oraisa of Shabbason. And then Rashi adds, but on a regular Kippur, it's Shari La'agmas Nefesh, and this is the key line of Rashi. V'yavagav l'ksiv beinami Shabbason, Yom Kippur also has a Shabbason, so why is it Isser on Yom Kippur? So he says, Shvos lav mi malachahu, ela bikol davar ha-ma'akiv mi l'hisanos. Says Rashi, Shabbason, same word in the Torah, by Shabbos and Yom Kippur, but it means two different things. Shabbason on Shabbos, we shall shvos mi malacha. And that's why it's usser. Even when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, it's usser. But Shabbason a plain Yom Kippur. So that's Shabbason, you must rest from anything that's ma'akev your hisanus. You must stop, not do anything that prevents you from having inui. And this allows you to have inui. So there's a different definition of Shabbason based on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur. Tosfos does not accept that. He doesn't say it beferish, but Tosfos, Yerimasvel, El Kinevas Yerek, just says, Nira Lari, that this is an asvachta. Right? Don't take it literally that this is a pasuk that's matering or asur kedivas yarek. Because says Tosfos, if it's a daraisa, it should be asur on Yom Kippur too. Rashi answered that. Rashi said that, no, there's a different definition of Shabbason on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. But Tosfos doesn't seem to say that. Tosfos seems to say Shabbason is Shabbason, and therefore you have to say that our drasha is a smach midrabanan. Okay, so machlokas, how to understand these few lines of the Gemara. The Gemara continues. Just one more thing. The idea of Shabbason being in a d'oraisa, including actions that aren't full malachos, the Ramban talks a lot about that in Parshas Emor. If you want to look up more about that, the Ramban in Emor Ba'arichos talks about Shabbos, we're not supposed to schlep things around on Yantif. You know, I'm going to clean my living room on Yantif, I'm going to move my bookcases, I might not be violating the letter of the law, but that's included in the essay of Shabbos, and that's not how I'm supposed to be spending my day of Shabbos on Yantif. So this version, Rabbi Yochanan says that Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos, you're allowed. It's mutter b'knivas yarek. We just had the brisa that we just mentioned. We have the pasuk and Shavos Lamai. The Gemara said, what is Shabbason being resting from? It can't be referring to a real malacha because that has a different pasuk. It must be referring to the Knivas Yarek aspect, which is not real. So therefore, doesn't this brisa prove to me that when Yom Kippur falls down on Shabbos, it's usher to do this preparation? Lo, the olam l'malacha v'lava r'alabal aseh v'losa aseh. Really, it's referring to real malacha. You already have a pasuk. No, the answer is, the Torah wants to add that you violated aseh and elosa aseh when, if one would do k'divas yarek when Yom Kippur falls down on Shabbos. Okay, so it's a machlokas amoraim between Rav Yochanan and Rav Huna, whether it's usher or mutter. Second to last line, Tani Kavasi to Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Kippur Shachol Yis Meshabbos Mutter B'Kedivas Yarek. Rabbis like Rabbi Yochanan, the Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos, it's Mutter. Yom Kippur Baraba, Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Kippur Shachol Yis Meshabbos. Not only can you do the Kedivas Yarek, but Mefatzin Be'egozim Uva Farchas and Brimonim. You're allowed to crack open the nuts or the pomegranates. Min Amidchol Lamal Bnei Agbas Nefesh. Right, which you're allowed to do this late in the day of Bnei Agbas Nefesh. So again, what does Agbas Nefesh mean? Rashi would say to give you more Agbas Nefesh. The Ran would say to prevent you from having Agbas Nefesh later. So that's how do you understand? Right, that's what it says on the side. Pir shelo yei tareach b'mosai hayom b'kniva v'tei nafshu aguma alav. Right, that is all. Akal Lashon Bal Hamari quotes actually earlier. He quotes Rashi here. Oh, I didn't see this before. So he quotes the Machlokas, the 2 days in this Gilyon on the side. What Agmas Nefesh means. Tebei Rabbi Yehuda, that's what these Amoraim say, that Meikra Adin is Mutter, and that, by the way, is what we paskin. The Meikra Adin, it's Mutter. But that's Meikra Adin. We'll get to it in a minute. Tebei Rabbi Yehuda, Bakanfi Karba. The house of Rabbi Yehuda used to cut up the cabbage. Tebei Rabba, Gardi Kare, they used to scrape out the gourds of the pumpkins on Yom Kippur late in the day. But Kivan the Chaz the Kavik of Macharfi, once the rabbi saw that people were starting to do it too early, Amalahu, Asa Igrasami Ma'arav and Mishad Rabbi Yochanan to Asa. They said, no, we got a letter, we received a telegram from Rabbi Yochanan that it's Asr because people started doing it too early, and therefore they didn't want it done at all. So that is, if you look in the Rambam, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, both say this, that Meikra did his mutter, but Lomaisa, we don't do it because people do it too early, and therefore we don't do any preparations on Yom Kippur. Okay, so that is what we paskin and make her a din. There is just one other ha'ara. It says that because they were doing it too early, they said, we got a letter from Rabbi Yochanan. Both Mepharshim say, look what Rashi says. So that they would accept the psak. In other words, they really didn't get a letter from Rabbi Yochanan. They just said it so that they would accept. If you say something, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, then it would be accepted. The Mangan Avram is in Kuf Nun Vav. In Hilchas Masa Umatan, at the end of Chilak Beis of the Mishnah Berurah, that's the Siman, but it's the Malkan Avram is earlier. So he quote there. He has a list of about 50 lines of the Gemara that aren't Shulchan Aruch. It's like has to do with Tochacha and a miscellaneous halachos that are quoted from the Gemara. So he quotes this line. He says, "You're allowed if you want to give Tochacha to somebody. You know they're not going to accept it unless you say it's in the name of Rip So and So. You know Rip So and So Shlita told me that." So then he says, "You're allowed to say it." If it will only be accepted that way. But then he says, Sarachin, because there are other Gemaras that say, don't say it, but he quotes this issue about whether you're allowed to make something up, B'Shem and Adam Gadol, in order for the person, you know, if you hear it from me, so then nothing. But if you hear it from some, you know, from the Adam Gadol, so then it would be acceptable to them. Okay, Hakam Lachay Lukshar. Let's continue. Kol Kisvi HaKodesh Masilon HaSlan Mipnei HaDaleika. There's a fire in the house, Rachman al-Islan. and there is a potential iser, but you're carrying things out. We'll talk about what that is in a second. You're still, even though, as we'll see in later Mishnayos in the Perek, there's only a certain maximum amount of food that you're allowed to carry out, a certain number of meals per Shabbos, machlokes, tanaim about that. When it comes to svarim, kol kisvi hakodesh, you're allowed to save any svarim, matzilon osam b'fnei hatzlaika. You're allowed to save them from the fire. Bein shekoren bahen, ubein she'ein koren bahen. Whether you're allowed to read these svarim on Shabbos or not. Why would you not be able to allowed to read a sefer on Shabbos? We'll get to it in a minute. What is the potential iser being violated? If you look at the second Rashi, Rashi says, l'mavui she'eino mafulash. Rashi, they're talking about a mavui, an alleyway she'eino mafulash, that is not open on both sides. So, the Mefarshim seem to say that according to Rashi, he seems to be in this Issa Drabanan of carrying to a Mavi Shein of a Foolish, which does not have a Lechi or a Korah on the fourth side, which we discussed a little bit at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. So it's a Mida Oraisa, it's a Rosh Hashayachid. Mida Rabanan, you know, you're supposed to have something on the fourth side, either a horizontal or a vertical pole, but because we're going to give you this little dispensation, probably because we don't want you to put out the fire, so that's why we'll allow you to carry some svarim out to this Rishus HaYachid violation. We'll allow you to violate it. That's what the Mishnah gives the heter for, because of this. That's the potential iser. Others, and that's what the Ramah quotes in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch himself quotes other Rishonim that really, you're going to Rishus HaYachid here. The issue is Tircha. We're going to allow you to violate this Tircha, this extra bother, this schlepping, to save the Kisvi HaKodesh. Those are two potential violations that the Mishnah is saying that you're allowed to do to save the Kisvi HaKodesh. So says the Mishnah again, that you're allowed to save any Kisvi HaKodesh from the fire, whether you're allowed to read them or not on Shabbos. V'af al pi sheksuvim b'chol lashon, and even though they are written in any language, not just Lashon HaKodesh, we'll get to how to read this line in the beginning of the Gemara, t'una geniza, even though, the pasuk of the Mishnah is, you read it as one line, even though it's written in any language other than Lashon HaKodesh, t'una geniza, it still needs geniza. What is geniza? So here, it seems that it doesn't mean regular geniza like Seamus. It just means you have to treat it properly. Rashi says you can't leave it in a makam hefker. So, doesn't mean geniza in, like other times, but that's what it means. They have to treat it a little properly. Why wouldn't you be able to read certain svarim on Shabbos? Mipnei bitul beis hamedrash. Because of the bitul beis hamedrash. What does that mean? So Rashi here explains that in karm bahen, what we're referring to here is ksuvim. Nevi'im, you're allowed to read. But ksuvim, tana, is okay. But the chuh, the tanach, the third part, Ksuvim is usher to read on Shabbos. Why? It's an amazing Rashi. Rashi says, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that people used to read Ksuvim Shabbos afternoon, Halavai, that should be our Wushjei Sahara, and they used to get involved in the book, and it's very interesting, and you read Mishlei, and it tells you all about life, and you read other stories in Ksuvim, and instead of, you stay home and learn that, instead of going to Shabbos afternoon to hear the Drasha from the Rav. And says Rashi, it's wonderful that you learn a lot of Torah by reading these Ksuvim, but you're not going to know what to do in life, in terms of Halacha. And you have to go to the Rav to know. He says, "The Mashri Liba Ubishabas are Yedarshin Drasha LeBalabatim Shasukin B'Malacha Kol Yemosachol." The Balabatim were busy the whole week; they didn't get to learn. So that's why they were interested in this on Shabbos. Ubetoka Drasha Yemor Lain Hilchas Esav Heter. The Rav told them what to do in Halacha. V'Tov Lahem L'Shmoa Milikras Biksuvim. In other words, priorities in learning. Right? I want to learn at home. I want to read these Gedolim stories. It inspires me. Wonderful. But not at the time when the Rav Yeshul is giving a drasha in halacha, because that's what a person's responsibility is. And we discussed a number of years ago, we quoted the Medrash, that's quoted in the Beis Yosef, it's been Reish Sa'atik in Hilchos Shabbos, which talks about, it's a very, very ancient minhag, having a Shabbos afternoon shiur discussing Hilchos Shabbos on Shabbos. The Medrash says, in Medrash Tanchuma says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe! Hashem says to Moshe, "Raid va'aseli kihilos gedolos b'Shabbos. Gather for me gatherings on Shabbos, k'dei sheyilmudu kol hadoros habayim acharecha, so that all the generations after you learn lahakil kihilos b'chol Shabbos lihikanis b'batiknasis b'demedrashos l'lamid b'hem Torah l'rabim." So it goes back ancient centuries that he's supposed to learn halacha, and that's what the Torah here quotes. That Shabbos says, Hashem, what's my every day of the week has a pair? What's my pair? Hashem says, don't worry, B'nei Yisrael will be your pair because they'll have special shiur on Shabbos. And the Bach even is distinguishes that it seems like from the Torah in the Beis Yosef that it's dafka halacha, literally dina b'halachos on a kfiyas basis, even more than just drushas. So that's why it's a nice idea to have a halacha shir Shabbos afternoon, which we try to do. And the Rashi says that's what it means, bitul beis hamedrash. That's why there was a gzeira that you shouldn't learn the ksuvim so much on Shabbos afternoon, because you want people to be able to go to the drasha in the afternoon. Okay, so back to the Mishnah. So we had that you're allowed to save all these ksuvim. The Rishonim also point out an important ha'ara. The Ran says this, the Ritva says this. Where this whole issue is about what you're allowed to save, what you're not allowed to save. Why? And that's potentially listen to Rabbanan. What about putting out the fire? Why can't you just put out the fire? Okay, Machabe is one of the Avos Malachos. But why are you putting out this fire? You want to save the stuff. So what's that called? Malacha Shenis V'Chalagufa. We know that the Machalagos is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Why'd they put out fires in the Mishkan? Right, we had a machlokas. How do you define malachas and spiritual gufa? But let's say dubi dumishkan, like Tosva says. So why they put out fires? In order to create coals, in order to create something that's going to be used to ignite. So what are you doing in here? It's for prevention. Malachas and spiritual gufa. Right, like we had a few days ago, killing or trapping animals so that they don't bite you. That's malachas and spiritual gufa. So that should be potter. That's also an isidra rabbanan. So why are we making such a big deal about this isidra rabbanan? Why don't you just put out the fire? So says the Magen Mishnah Haraya, that the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, like the Rambam holds. We don't pass it this way. But it says in the Magen Mishnah, this is one of the Gemaras that says the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rambam passes this against other Rishonim. Most of the time, we don't want to say that, because we don't pass it like Rabbi Yehuda. So what else could we say? So there, halach is yichla gufa, is it isn't Rabbanan chamur? We know that there's even a question by a cholah she'ein bo sakana, right, level 2 out of 4 of the cholim. Whether you're allowed, amir la'akum is mutter, and taking medicine is mutter, by a choloshim basakana, but b'lach shesheich legufa is a chamor isa drabanan. So that also might be. There are different, you can't compare isa drabanans. There are chamor ones, there are kal ones. So maybe hotza'a to a isa drabanan place, or tircha, is more kal than a b'lach shesheich legufa. That's a second potential answer. So number one, inachinami, according to it will be we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Number two is it's a chum or it's a drabanan, but the other Rishonim say quote to Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi says according to Rishonim it will be mutter to be mechaber. Spachlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, unless the Bavli holds like Rabbi Yehuda and the Yerushalmi holds like Rabbi Shimon. But anyway, that's the discussion in the Rishonim here, that the Ran and the Ritva quote this Yerushalmi. The Ritva does not like the Yerushalmi. He says, no, don't take it so seriously. And the Ritva says, no, it's really, you can only save the Svarim. But you should know that you can't just save items that you're worried about. And then he quotes, interestingly, V'yachshav, and this is the Ritva, Nagu Barov Aratzos L'chavos L'Lekim Shabbos. The Minog is, says the Ritva, whenever a fire breaks out, people just put out the fire. And V'ein Lahem Amashi Yismochu. They don't have anything to be so mechan. He says, maybe they say that if they don't do it, they'll be sakanas tafashas, which obviously the Ritva is not going to argue on that, but he's obviously arguing on the Messias. The people are saying that, but it's not really true. He says, but oh, maybe they think it's sakanas tafashas, that if the non-Jewish government just see you watch your house burn down, they're not going to be happy with you, and that's going to be sakanas tafashas. But either way, he says, ve'ein ha-heter bar bazeh, ela hanach lehem l'Yisrael mutav she'i shogigin, v'al yimazidin. Unbelievable quoting from the Gemara and Beitza. Better that they don't know about it. Anyways, it sounds like this was a common occurrence in the Ritva's time. Bizman Azeh, most fires that we have, because houses are so close together, we assume they're Sakonas Lefashas. You call the fire department, which is an Isidra Banan, and Achmana Lislan, and you do everything. Yeah. Can you call a guy according to the Ritva? Because that's also not be a dayim, and that's a shvus. Maybe you'll call a guy if even according to the Ritva. Okay, so let's continue. Itmar. So says the Gemara. So we need a little Hakdama for this Gemara, and then it'll be straightforward. The Mishnah Berurah, if you want to look at a nice Hakdama of this Gemara, there's 4 lines the Mishnah Berurah quotes, based on the Rishonim, in Shin Lamed Daled, Sifkat and Lamed Aleph. The Mishnah Berurah notes that Mitzad Hadin, if you look based on the early sources in the Gemara, there's supposed to be a 2 parts of the Torah that we have received from Sinai. There's supposed to be Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebechsav is supposed to be written in Hebrew, on cloth, with ink, etc. That's Torah Shebechsav. Torah Shebal Peh, there's an Isser, it's not allowed to be written down. There wasn't supposed to be Mishnah, there wasn't supposed to be Gemara, there wasn't supposed to be anything. That's originally what the plan was. But as time went on, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is the one that's famous for this, right? He saw that people were, the pashtus reason is that people were forgetting things, weren't remembering. Therefore, nowadays, even with all the Gemara, look at all the Svarim on the shelf, we still don't remember things. But in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, you know what was on the shelf? A Tanakh. That's it. That was the only sefer in a Jewish household. Tanakh, and a person's personal notes, maybe, that they had from their Rebbe. But Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi saw people were forgetting, so therefore there was a heter to write down the Torah in order that to prevent people from forgetting. Okay, that is the background based on the pasuk of Eis Lasos Lashem Efiru Torasecha. The Torah is going to be forgotten, so then you're allowed to violate certain things in order to be Mekayim the Torah. There is interesting, if you want to look, we don't really have time, but in the Dar Ravi, which is the great-great-grandson of the Chassam Sofer, he has a Sefer HaMesechah Schulin. In the Hakdamah there, he has 15 pages discussing Torah Shebal Peh. He gives a different reason why Rebbe wrote it down. Not that people were forgetting, but that now, it was about 150 years after the Churban HaBayis, people were going out, the Jews would be scattered throughout the foreign cultures in the world, and the Rabbi Yonasi was worried that Chazal would be influenced by all the foreign cultures around. The Torah Shebal Sav and Torah Shebal Peh was supposed to be when Jews were in Eretz Yisrael, by themselves, surrounded by themselves. But when people were going to be dispersed, then it was a worry that if you don't have more text to work with, so then they would be influenced, even not on purposely. Not purposely, it will just seep in, and not just forgetting, but the Torah would become warped in a way. So that's why he says, and he has a richus about it. But that's why it was written down. Okay, so with that background, now let's read the Gemara. Itmar says the Gemara, Hayiksuvim Targum Abuchal Lashon. If you have Svarim that were written in some other language, Rabbi Yehud, not other than Lashon HaKodesh, Rav Huna Amar Imasilin Lassan Mabanez Leika, Rav Chizda Amar Imasilin Lassan Mabanez Leika. So the Machlokes, Rav Huna and Rav Chizda, whether you're allowed to save Svarim that were written in other languages. We'll see how this fits into the mission in a minute. So says the Gemara. The Gemara is about to quote a Machlokes from Megillah, Machlokas Tanaim, when Rebbe gave this heter to write down in other languages, was it in any other language or only Greek? Because the Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says it was only allowed to be written in Greek, which has connections to Lashon HaKodesh more than other languages. But if it was only allowed to be written in Greek, it wasn't allowed to be written in any other language. So that's the Machlokas which the Gemara is about to relate to. So we have a Machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chizda, whether you're allowed to save Svarim that were written in other languages from a fire. According to the person in Megillah, that the Tanakhama there, who says you're allowed to read Svarim in any language, meaning the Heter was to write it in any language, so then everybody would agree that you're allowed to save these Svarim. If you're allowed to use these Svarim, of course you're allowed to save them if they're written in other languages. So according to that opinion, there's no machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chizda. If you hold that you're allowed to write and read Svarim in any language, then of course you're allowed to save them, because they're usable. Ki pligi alibidu andavar alonit in likros behen. The machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chizda is within the opinion that you weren't not allowed to read them. The question is, if you're not allowed to read them, meaning if you weren't allowed to write them down in this language in the first place, do they still have any kedusha though? So you weren't allowed to do it. You're only allowed to write it in Greek. So you wrote it in English. So did it still have kedusha that you're allowed to save it from a fire? That's the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chizda. Rav Huna amar ein matzilin talon nilkor likros. Rav Huna says you're not matzilin because you're not allowed to use it. So what's the point of saving it? Rav Chizda amar matzilin rei bizyon kesi yakodesh. Rav Chizda says no, it still has kedusha, and therefore it would be a bizayon to kesi yakodesh not to save it. So now we relate our Mishnah to this Machlokas. Tanan kol kesvi hakodesh matzilin lasan b'nei tzleika bein shekar beh bein she'in karam bahen v'afal pi sheksuvim b'chal lashon. That's a quote from our Mishnah. So the Gemara is going to interpret that. What does our Mishnah say? You're allowed to save anything whether you read it or not, even though it's written in any language. So what does that sound like it's saying? My lav shekarim bahen neviim. Isn't our Mishnah referring to whether you read from them? That's neviim. V'she'in karam bahen ksuvim afal pi sheksuvim b'chal lashon. What does that mean? Even though, so there's some kind of counter pressure that the Mishnah is referring to, because the Mishnah says afal pi. Oh, you tell me Talmidim in yeshiva. Afal pi is always implicit question. That's afal pi, magic words. So afal pi sheksuvim b'chal lashon. What does that mean? There's some counter pressure here that would be telling you that you shouldn't be able to save them, but you're allowed to. So what's the afal pi? The Gemara assumes it means lo nin nilikros b'hen. It must mean that it's referring to that you're not allowed to read them, and that's what it means. Even though they're written in some other language, you shouldn't read them. But the Mishnah still says v'katani matzilin, that you're still allowed to save them. So if it's yufta de Rav Huna, isn't that against Rav Huna? Because what did we just say? That the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chizda is a machlokas within the person that says you're not allowed to read from these svarim. Period. On a weekday. And Rav Huna says you're not allowed to save these svarim because they're useless. They don't have kedusha of kisvei hakodesh, but our Mishnah seems to say it does. So says the Gemara, no. Amalek Rav Huna v'tizbar. Rav Huna says, 1 second. Look at the next line of the Gemara of the Mishnah. Eima seifa to uniginiza. The next line of the Mishnah says you have to treat it properly. Hasha tzuli masalina ginez miboy. If it's true how you're interpreting the Mishnah, says Rav Huna to the questioner, that you have to save it even though it's written in some other language. So if you have to save it, of course you have to treat it properly. So what would be the chiddush of the next two words of the Mishnah? So it must be the Mishnah means something else. So says the Gemara, Ela Rav Huna Matarit Zatame, Rav Chizda Matarit Zatame. Really, Rav Huna and Rav Chizda interpret the Mishnah differently. Two different interpretations of the Mishnah. Rav Huna mitarets l'tamei Rav Huna, who says you're not allowed to save these kesviya kodesh written in other languages, interprets it as follows. You have to add in a few words to the Mishnah. Bein shekarim behen neviim, bein she'en kol ben ksuvim. Whether you read them or not, that's referring to the neviim and ksuvim. Ba'med or mamurim, when are you allowed to save them? Sheksuvim b'lashon hakodesh. That's if it's written in Hebrew. Avo b'chol lashon, but if it's written in any other language, ein matzilin. You don't save them. But even though you don't save them, v'afilu achi geniza bo. That's the extra line of geniza. It's saying, even though you don't save them, but if you have them, so then you have to treat them properly. You can't leave them in the Malkum Hefker. So that's how Rav Huna interprets the Lag Mishnah. Rav Chisda Matarit Tatami. Rav Chisda says otherwise. No. Bein Shekarim Behen Nevi'im, Bein Shekarim Behen Ksuvim. According to Rav Chisda, you don't have to add in any words. Afa Bein Shekarim Behen Ksuvim B'chol Lashon. Nami Matzilin. Even though they're written in other languages, you still save it. Aye, what about the next two words of the Mishnah? V'hachi Kamar. The Geniza line is referring to something else. Umekek Shalahen Tu'un Geniza. That's what you have to add in. The Mekek, which we had a couple of daf ago. Mekek is the place of the Sfarim which got rotted out from the worms eating through it. Even that has Kedusha and you have to treat it properly. That's the additional line of Geniza. You're right. If you could save it from a fire, of course you have to treat it properly. But the extra line of Geniza is referring to the edges and the parts of the Sfarim that were rotted out. So that also you have to save. So Machlokas are Funer and Chizda, how to interpret the Mishnah. Why don't you say the Mishnah is only referring to the Manta Amar that you can read it? Nitnu Likros. So maybe, we're going to see that eventually that's what we're going to have to say. It's a Machlokas Tanan. But right now, maybe the Gemara does not, Rav Huna does not want to say that the Stama de Masnisan does not go like his interpretation. He wants to fit his interpretation into the Mishnah. But you're right, the Mishnah, I think, could have said that. The Gemara is going to say it's a Machlokas Tanan in a minute. Okay, end of the sixth wide line. Meisvei, ha yuksuvin targama b'chol lashon matzilin somebody has leika. We have a brisa that says, if it's written in any language, you're allowed to save it. If it's written in any language, so that means, right, so what is the, and you're allowed to save it, isn't that against Rav Huna? So, two of the Rav Huna, some of Rav Huna, no, simple, like Beryl just said. Hi, Tana, sovereign, ninilikwas behen. That Tana says, no, you're allowed to read it. And remember, the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda is within the opinion that you're not allowed to read these svarim. The question is, are you allowed to save them? According to the Mandaber, you're allowed to read these svarim in English in any language. Of course you're allowed to save it. The machlokas is not about that opinion. Tashma, again, ha'yiksuvin giftis midis ivris ilmas yivanis. If it's written in these other languages, by the way, ivris here doesn't mean Hebrew. Rashi explains Avra Hanahar, some other language that they use on the other side of the river. Again, but here it says beferish. Even though you're not allowed to read them, you're allowed to save them. That seems to be mefurish, like Rav Chisda, right? That you're allowed to save them even though you're not allowed to read them. Shifta the Rav Huna, so I'm looking for Rav Huna Tanoihi. So Rav Huna has to, when push comes to shove, he has to say, you're right, it's a machlokas tanoim, even within the Manda Amar, that you're not allowed to read them. It's a my machlokas between me, Rav Huna, and Rav Chisda, there is a parallel machlokas tanoim. Tanya, what's the machlokas tanoim is following? The Bryce of the Tanakama says, if something's written in any language, you're allowed to save it. So we're going to come back to that opinion to explain. Rav Yossi Amar Ein Masnei Masav Bnei Atzleika. Rav Yossi says you don't save it. Right? So Rav Yossi must be Rav Huna. Because if you don't save it, what's the only possibility? If you're allowed to read it, of course you have to say you're allowed to save it. So it must be within the Manda Amar, you're not allowed to read it, and you're not allowed to save it. So that Rav Yossi is what Rav Huna said. That's who I hold like. The Gemara quotes a continuation story related. Amar Rav Yossi, Maisa b'Abba Chalafta Shalachetz Rav Gamliel b'Rebbe L'Tzveria. Maisa with Abba Chalafta that went to Rav Gamliel to Tzveria. Rashi explains that Abba Chalafta is Rav Yossi's father. That's why he calls him Abba Chalafta. And the question that is asked, Rabbi Kiva Eger here quotes that how could he call his father by his first name, Chalafta. Right? Rabbi Kiva Eger says, Kashal the Echizkir Rav Yossi is Aviv B'Shmo. So amazingly, he says, Rabbi Eger quotes his son, Ubini haben yakir li kir levavi Rav Shlomo. Rav Shlomo Eger, he has his own svarim, right? The Gilead Marsha on Yerodea. But Rav Shlomo Eger, he said, no, based on Rashi and Sanhedrin, that he says, as long as you put a title before it, right? You say, Rebbe Mori, Avi Mori, so then it's okay. And that's why the Sharm Seren Balacha quotes Achronim when you call you, let's say you're the Gaba and you call your father for an Aliyah. Some people just say Avi Mori ben, whatever, your grandfather. But I've seen, and it's perfectly okay to say Avi Mori and you say your father's name, because that's giving him a title. Like here, Abba Chalafta. It's not just Chalafta. Right? It's Abba Chalafta. So that's what he quotes from Kiv Eger, quotes from his son, Shlomo Eger, to answer up this Gemara. That's why he says Abba Chalafta. Okay, anyway. So this is a story about Avachalafta. They went to Tver. Yomazo Yosho Shachano, Shal Yochanan Anazo, Shal Ben Izov, and they found this other rabbi, Ubiyado Sefer Eov Targum, and in his hand there was a Sefer Eov Targum. Translation. Tosas here says, Mashma, that the Targum existed already at the times of the Tanaim. Right? Other Mepharshim, there's a Rashi Kedushin that says it only came later. Rav Yosef, the Amora, made up Targum. But Tosa says, from this Gemara, you see they had an Eov Targum in the times of the Tanaim. So it must have been written earlier. So says the Gemara that he had in hand Eov Targum, who Korebo, and he was learning it. Amar lo, and I remember, Zachar and Ibra begam Liel Avi, Avicha, Shaya Omin Agabi Mal of Harabayas, Vivila Vada Sefer Eov Targum, they brought in front of him a Sefer Eov that was translated, Vamala Banai, and they told the worker there, Shakeo Tachal Inbach, throw this under the bricks. Afu Sivala Vaganzo, they put it away. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Amar Arabishal Titkaf Olav, no, they poured some cement on it. Either way, they said they didn't deal with these targum. They didn't want people learning it. So the Amar Rebbe, Rebbe says the whole story doesn't work. Sheit Shuvas Bazavar. There are two points that the story must be fabricated somehow because there are two things wrong with the story. Chada, and the Gemara doesn't even elaborate whether the story would be a raya to which opinion or not. That does this prove that it needs geniza like the Mishnah says or not? The Gemara doesn't elaborate because they're going to reject the story in a minute. V'chitit b'harabayis binayin. They had cement in the harabayis. They didn't have cement in the Harabayas. There's other materials that they use in the Harabayas. They didn't use tit to the Harabayas. So that must be wrong. Furthermore, okay, you don't want to be gonies. You don't want to put treat the Svarim in a special way, but to totally destroy them and throw cement on them? That, of course, you're not allowed to do. You could leave it someplace and let it rot. Meaning, you don't have to be gonies then, but you can't be a dayim, pour cement, and ruin it. So either way, the story must be fabricated, period. But anyway, so getting back to what we said before, we had asked a question on Rav Huna, that Rav Huna, again, there's a machlokas, remember there's two machlokas in here, just keep it clear in your head. There's a machlokas whether when Rebbe said you're allowed to write down the Torah in other languages, was it only Yavanis or in all languages? Right? Whether you're allowed to read the Torah, Korin Bahen means in any language, Ein Korin Bahen means you're not allowed to read it in other languages. If you're allowed to read it in other languages, then for sure you're allowed to save those Sfarim from a burning house. That's fine. Within the Manda Amar, that you're not allowed to read these Sfarim, that it was only allowed to be written in Yavanis, like Rashi explains in Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, within that opinion, there's a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. You're not allowed to read these Sfarim. You're allowed to save them. Do they have any significance? So Rav Chisda says you're allowed to save them. Rav Huna says you're not allowed to save them. And we ask the Kasha and Rav Huna, there's a brisa against you. Rav Huna says, you're right, it's a machlokas tanoim. What could I do? So the Gemara just elaborates, Man tanoim, what exactly is the machlokas tanoim that Rav Huna says, you know, it's parallel to my machlokas? Throw it in the page. Ilei matana kama de Rabbi Yosi, v'Rabbi Yosi. Is the machlokas that's parallel to my machlokas, the machlokas between Tanakam and Rabbi Yosi, on the bottom, it was one of the brises that we brought against Rav Huna. The Gemara says there's no proof that that's a parallel machlokas. Why? But that brisa of Rabbi Yosi on the previous Amud doesn't specify that we're talking within the Manda Amar that you're not allowed to read it. It might be that that's a machlokas, whether you're allowed to read these or not in the first place. Not about saving. So Gemara just that. Elaborates El Rabbi Yosi v'Tana deGiftis. No, the machlokas is between Rabbi Yosi and Tana deGiftis. Because if you look back on the previous Amid, Tana deGiftis says, even though it's written in other languages, you're allowed to save them. So that is Beferish, Rav Chisda. Rabbi Yosi says, you're not allowed to save them. If you're not allowed to save them, it has to be within the Manda Amar that you're not allowed to read them, like Rav Huna. So that's the machlokas. There's a parallel machlokas Tanaim and machlokas Amaran. Fine, we just worked out who says what and who fits in with who. Next. Fourth line, Tanu Rabbanon, Habrachos Vahakimian. We had this already earlier. We spoke about Kimian and the Hotza issues in the couple of prakam ago. Habrachos Vahakimian, Avavishesh Ben Osias Shoshem. If you have amulets or papers and klapim that have certain brachas written on them, Rashi here says like Shmona Esrei, it's like a sitter. But Habrachos Vahakimian, Avavishesh Ben Osias Shoshem, even though it has Shemos Hashem on it, I'll focus whether it's really Shemos Hashem or just some of the nicknames of Hashem. Either way, it has some type of Kedusha on it. Ume inyonos harbi shabat Torah, or it has different inyonim from the Torah on them. Ein matzilonos abbeinat leika. You're not allowed to save these amulets or these brachas from the fire. Elanasavim bimkoman, because they don't have Kedusha. They were written as to prevent the ayin hara. They start to wear around your neck, so it doesn't have inherent Kedusha. So it's not like other svarim. You're not allowed to save them from a burning fire. Elanasavim bimkoman, they're burned in their place. Hein va'askarosayin. They and their askaras, meaning their the shemos Hashem that are on them. And mikan amru, from here, because this is the halacha, we say, kosvei brachas kasarfei Torah. We say it's better not to write these things in the first place. Because writing these things will eventually, could eventually lead, if it's in a burning house, then the halacha is you won't be able to save it. And therefore, it's kasarfei Torah, even though it has quasi-kedusha, it doesn't have real kedusha, that's the reason, that's why you're not allowed to save them, but it's something special, it has shemos Hashem on it, and you're creating a situation where shemos Hashem might have to be burned, and therefore it's not a good idea to write them in the first place. Okay, Maisa Be'echad, similar connected story. There was a story by somebody, Shayikosi B'tzidon, Bo V'hudiyos Rabbi Shmuel, as Rabbi Shmuel. There was somebody writing it in Tzidon, and they let Rabbi Shmuel know that this man was writing these Kamiyin. V'halach Rabbi Shmuel Abodko, Rabbi Shmuel went to check if the guy was really writing it. K'shayola B'sulam Hirgishbo, when he was going up the ladder, because he was writing in his study in the attic, Rabbi Shmuel started to go up the ladder, and the guy upstairs heard that, oh, Rabbi Shmuel's coming. Natal Tumus Shel Brachos, he took, Rashi says Tumus is a note, is a whole kuntres. It's a whole. He took a bunch of the brachas, v'shakar b'sefer shamayim, and he just dumped it in a barrel of water that he had to get rid of it, I guess, to try to hide the evidence. And Rabbi Shmuel came up and realized what happened. U'balashan hazeh amalo, Rabbi Shmuel, gadol onesh achron min harishon. He just said this is much worse than what I was coming up to tell you about. Because what else am I going to tell you about? In the future, it might be in a fire, and you might have to leave the fire, and it could be burned. But you, mamish, put it in water and destroyed it. That's even worse. That's Godol Onish Akram and Arishams. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel was upset at him. Sometimes when people try to cover things up, they do worse things than what happened in the first place. So that's the mus. Okay, bye, Mini Rishkalusa, Mi Rabbi Barafuna. Rishkalusa asked, Hayiksuvim Bisam Ubisikra Bakumusubakan Kantom, Balashana Kodesh, Matsilan Osobriad Leko in Matsilan. Says the Rish Galusa asked Rabbi Barafuna, what if you have a svarim written in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, but it's not written in dio, in ink. It's written in some other type of writing substance. That's the question. Do you save those? Do they have the same kedusha because it's not written in dio? As we mentioned before in the Harakdam for the Mishnah Berurah, svarim are supposed to be written in Lashon HaKodesh, on klaf in dio. What if it wasn't written in dio, but it was written in some of these other substances? Note, if you remember back on Kuf Dalid, when the Mishnah listed in regarding Hilchas Shabbos, if you look at these substances, they're miskayim. They're miskayim on Shabbos. You're chayiv d'oraisa. You don't have to write in ink on Shabbos. Any of these, Sam, Sikra, Kuzmus, Kankatom, they are miskayim. They're just not at, that's what Rashi here, the Gemara is about to call these Enu miskayim. Rashi's going to say, Enu miskayim, kidyo. Why does he have to throw that in? Because if you use these on Shabbos, you're chayiv d'oraisa. It is Dabar miskayim. But, and Tosfos also points that out, and Tosfos Avol. But it's not as miskayim as the others. But either way, so if you write in Hebrew, but using inferior inks, let's call them, are you allowed to save these? So tibay lamandar b'masil, tibay lamandar imasilan. And there's a question whether you're allowed to save svarim in other languages or not. Tibay lamandar b'masilan. It's a question according to the Manta Amar that says you're not allowed to save svarim written in other languages. Hani mili, because that could be why aren't you allowed to save svarim in other languages? Hechad d'chsivi b'targum b'chalashon. That's because it's written in other languages. Aval hachad d'chsivi b'lashon hakodesh masilan. But if it's written in Hebrew, so what? It's inferior ink. It's still written in lashon hakodesh. You should be able to save it. O dilma, no, or the opposite. Afilu mandar b'masilan. Even if you want to say you're allowed to save svarim written in other languages, hani mili hechad d'chsivi b'dio d'mekayim. That's only because it was written in dio, which is mekayim. Right, so if you just read the Gemara, it's mafurish against that Mishnah earlier. That's why you have to say what Rashi says. Rashi says it's not makayim kidyo. Right, it's not makayim enough as yo. Aval hacha keep it to lo makayim lo. But here, maybe because you wrote it in these other inferior inks, you wouldn't be able to save them. So again, so it's a suffix according to either Manta Amar. Whatever you say about the svarim in other languages, you have the suffix about a svarim in ink. Inferior inks. So Amrlei, the answer was given. Ein matzilin, you're not allowed to save these svarim written in inferior inks. Ivar Rav Huna Tana matzilin. Rav Huna says you're allowed to. Amrlei Tanya Tanya. Okay, if that's what that's his brisa. If he had a mesorah that you're allowed to, you're allowed to. My Tanya, which brisa did Rav Huna find that you're allowed to save these svarim written in inferior inks? Amr Rav Ashi get the Tanya. The following brisa. Ein from Megillah. Ain bein svarim lo magilla. There is no difference between svarim, hilchas halachas of writing svarim and writing Megillah, the Megillah Esther. Elisha svarim nechtavim bechalashon. Svarim could be written in any language. Bismanazeh. Ube Megillah and Megillah actually the ksuba ashuris. Megillah is supposed to be written in Hebrew script. Al hasefer on cloth. Ubidyo and with ink. So the diak is that only Megillah has to be written with dio, but the contrast, Svarim do not have to be written with Yod. That's the contrast. And therefore, you see from here, says Rav Ashi, to bolster Rav Huna, to bolster Rav Hamnuna, that even if it's not written in ink, it's still kosher, and that's why you'll be allowed to save it. You would be allowed to save it from a fire. Tosfos here points out the contrast is Svarim to Megillah, not Sefer Torah. Tosfos says Sefer Torah has to be written with Yod also. That's not included here. That's the second half of Tosfos in Megillah. He quotes Rav Yosef. Did a Sefer Torah for sure needs Yod. We're talking about other Svarim, Sifri Nach, that might not need Dio.
What if the Sefer Torah is like the two letters that's touching or missing the letter?
So we're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to get to Apostle Sefer Torah. So that's what we just discussed is about what about saving a Sefer Torah that saving Sefer that are not written with Yo. But now we have Menachem's question. Sefer Torah she'in bo lalaki shmonim v'chamish osios. Gun parshas vahibitzo ha'aron masilim asobnez leiko o'ei masilim. What happens if a Sefer Torah is so rubbed out? Hard to imagine. It's so rubbed out that there are less than 85 letters left in the Torah that are legible. But it still can retain Kedusha Sefer Torah. What's 85 letters? So the Parsha of Ahibitza Ha'aron in Parshas Bahaloscha, that's called a separate Parsha. We're going to get to that B'Hashem tomorrow. That's called a separate, because you have the Nuns or the make it into a separate Parsha. There are 85 letters there, so we assume that the minimum Kedusha, the minimum Parsha in the Torah is 85 letters. So if it has less than 85 letters, forget it. There's no one out talking, it loses, it's not called the Sefer Torah anymore. But if it has 85 letters here and there and there, and you put it all together, it has 85 letters, does it retain its Kedusha? So if it has 85 letters, we say it does. The question is, what if the Sefer Torah is Sheinbo? If it doesn't have 85 letters, does it lose its Kedusha or not? That is the question of the Gemara. Amar Lei, remind me, we'll come back to our Rashi in a minute. Amar Lei, b'tipay l'cha parch v'hibisoa aron gufa. What are you asking me about if there are 85 letters like v'hibisoa? I have a question about v'hibisoa itself. What if you have v'hibisoa written on a cloth itself? Hefet the chaser parch, and it's missing a letter. If parch v'hibisoa is missing a letter, do you save that? Why are you asking me if the whole Torah has less than 85 letters? Ask me about v'hibisoa itself. If v'hibisoa is written on a cloth and it's missing a letter, you save it? It's a whole parsha without one letter. So Gemara says, no, that's not a question. If parsha vahibitsoa is missing a letter, that's not a question. For sure you save it. Why? Kivan dispe as karos. No, because it has Shem Hashem in it, of course you're going to save it. That's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says if it has Shem Hashem or it has 85 letters, you save it. Keep on kami boyle, that's based on the maskan in a minute. Keep kami boyle, save a Torah. Shem b'lalaki. So if it has... If it's part of Yibisoa, you're missing a letter, it has Shemos Hashem in it, of course you're going to save it. The question of the Gemara is, if the whole Torah is rubbed out except for less than 85 letters, and there are no Shemos of Hashem left, that's the question. Does it retain its Kedusha in order to save it? My. So Amar Lei Ein Matzilin. So the halacha is, no, you don't save it. You don't save the Torah. We have a brisa that says against this. Targum Shekasvu Mikra. Let's say there's a few words in the Torah. A few words in the Torah, not too many, that's supposed to be written in Aramaic. Right, the Gemara is going to talk about it in a minute. Yahgar, Sahadusa, a few words here and there. So what if you wrote those words in Hebrew? You weren't supposed to write it in Aramaic. Targum shekasvu mikra, or mikra shekasvu targum, or the opposite. You're supposed to write it in Hebrew, you wrote it in Aramaic. Viksav Ivris, or you use a different script. You didn't use Savashuris, which is what we usually use, but use Ksav Ivris, Matzilim Ebreat Leika. The Bryce says, you save it. Ve'itzar Achlomar, and of course, Targum Sheba Ezim Sheba Daniel Sheba Torah, Targum that's supposed to be written in Aramaic, that you did write in Aramaic, that has Kedusha. Uftargum Sheba Torah, Mainihu. By the way, what is Targum Sheba Torah? Yigar Sahadusa, right, the passage that we have by the Avos. V'avagav Delas Be'ishman of Chamish Tevia, to Osios. What does the Bryce say? These Targumim have Kedusha. Even though it doesn't have 85 letters. The Havamina of the Gemara is that you only wrote these Targum. That's all you have on your cloth. Gemara says, no. Kitani Yila Hashlim. No, the Bryce is talking about a case where this is Mashlim, the Torah. If it's Mashlim, the letters of the Torah, this counts also. Of course, it's not by itself. But this could be Mashlim. Let's say you need 85 letters. These letters that you write could fill in to be Mashlim for the Torah. Yeah.
You said a second ago that if it's even so, if it's possible, Hashem's name.
If it's possible and has Hashem's name, you have to save it, right.
Why is it different than
brachos? Why is it different than brachos? Because that wasn't written, L'shem Kedusha Sefer Torah. No, but it was still written. It was still written, L'shem Sefer Torah. It wasn't written as a bracha or a kimiya. That's part of the difference. Is part of it is writing it. Let's see, if you have a kusi who writes a Sefer Torah. It might not be called the Sefer Torah. Right? If somebody, it's not the askaris itself. But there's a kavana that goes into the askaris. Okay, so that's what we get. So if Sefer Torah has less than 85 letters, it seems like you don't have to save it. If it has Shem Hashem, you do have to save it. Ibailahu, a few more lines, then we'll do a Rashi, then we'll finish. Ibailahu, Hani Shwana Vachamish Osios. This discussion of the 85 letters, Mukhunasos or Mufuzaros. If you have, let's say, if you have 85 letters left, then you say the Sefer Torah. Do they have to be together, or could they could be one here and one there and one there, one there? So this is machlokas. Rav Huna Amar Mechunasos, Rav Chisa Amar Afilu Mufuzaros. Machlokas. Meisvei. We have a question though. Sefer Torah Shabala, Sefer Torah that gets worn out. Sefer Torah has 85 letters which you could gather together. Kagon. Why 85? Kagon Pashas Vahibit Soa. Matzilim Vav Ematzilim. So you have to do Rav Huna. Tekashen Rav Huna. Rav Huna says it has to be together. But this Brisa says if you could gather them, gathering means that they're not together. So Kashan Rafuna. So my answer is Tergumar the Rafkhizza, Libid Rafuna, Bitavos. No, another beautiful, by the way, beautiful Rafkhizda who's arguing with Rafuna. Rafkhizda answers though for Rafuna. Rafkhizda for Rafuna says no, it means Bitavos. You put together words, but you have to have words here and there. If you have words here and there, then you can put them together to make 85 letters altogether. But if you only have letters all over the place, then that's what this Bryce is. What Rav Huna is saying would not be allowed. Very important, interesting Rashi here. The original discussion when we say 85 letters, look at Rashi. Pei hei osios, about halfway down. Pei osios zeu shir l'sefer Torah shenimchak. This is the shir for a sefer Torah that gets rubbed out, obala, or worn out. Lios omed b'kedushaso. What is 85 letters? To be omed b'kedusha, to retain its sanctity. That's what I was saying before. So those two words of Rashi come to play in a number of tshuvas of the Achronim. There's a tshuva of the Minchas Elazar, the Munkasher Rebbe, where he was asked, what happens if, do you have to fast by a sefer Torah puzzle that falls down? Falls on the floor. Do you have to fast? When the halacha is if Sefer Torah falls on the floor, there was another question. Only the Eitz Chaim touched the floor, not the other part of the Torah. A few parts of the Torah, but part of the question was if it's a Sefer Torah puzzle, do you have to fast? So he says. So it's a two-page tshuva, but in that discussion, he quotes. He says, "V'gam mafurish b'lashon Rashi." Quotes our Rashi, "Omid b'kedusha." So ad kan l'shono hakodesh v'nei diak Rashi b'lashono hazahav emish barak pei osios. Our Sefer Torahs have thousands of osios. Right, our Sefer Torah is that we have in our Aronos. To get 85 letters left in the Torah, that's less than a column. You know, we have thousands of letters. Right, so he says, of course you have to fast by a positive Torah. It has this kedusha. Look at Rashi, Omid b'kedushaso. That's one. Then there's another tshuva. It's a fasting tshuva. It's a short one of the Noda B'Yehuda. Simon Tess, the beginning of our Arachayim. He says, are you allowed, the tshuva goes backwards. Are you allowed to keep a Sefer Torah puzzle in the Aron? Sefer Torah puzzle. Can't keep coffee in the Aron. Can't keep other svarim. You ought to keep a positive in the Aron. So he goes amazing. Goes back and forth six times about whether he says they're not roy over tikkun. Is it mutter to put it in? He says you. And the questioner wanted to bring a raya from what would be the biggest raya? Shivrei luchos munachin ba'aron. You got the luchos and the shivrei luchos in the Aron. Oh, so you see that? So he says number one. He says maybe that could be a raya. But then the questioner says no, that's not true because the shivrei luchos are more kadosh than our apostle Sefer Torahs. Shiver from Hashem, Shiver Luchos. That's the Luchos Rishonos. He says maybe that's not a raya, but then he says there's no raya. The no to be Yehuda now goes into. He says maybe that whole thing is no raya because the Aron was made originally al das to keep the Shiver Luchos in. It had two compartments, one for the Luchos, one for the Shiver Luchos. But then he says Ladina, if you don't know what to do, put Klazi Mayama Dabar. Go out and see what people do. Everybody keeps Sifrei Torahs, Pas Sifrei Torahs in the Aron, and when you find a mistake on Shabbos, what do? You put it back in the Aron. Mom just became puzzle. You put it back in the Aron. So he says, even though it's puzzle, you still return it to the Aron and don't say that, oh no, it's only because you're going to fix it. No, even if you're not going to fix it. And even though a lot of times you say it's not right to fix anymore, it's just because we don't want to expend the money. It's fixable, but we don't want to spend the money. But still inherently it has a kedusha. And then he says, I know, maybe not. It goes back and forth. But then he says at the end, Yeshli smach midibrei Rashi. Shabbos. And he quotes our Rashi, Omid b'kedusha. So it's still b'kedusha. So he says at the end, Nirul and Yizdaiti ain iser v'kol zeh ani omer misha misa kedusha z'aron ain no aser. But maybe you shouldn't go to the other Gemara. But the al tishkon balacha avla, you're not supposed to keep pasul sefer Torahs in your house. You're supposed to fix them if you can. But either way, they both quote this Rashi in terms of being omid b'kedusha. So sefer Torah having kedusha, even though it's pasul, even though if it has 85 letters left, it's kosher. It's omid b'kedusha, not kosher. So surely all the sefer Torahs that we have. Okay, we'll stop here. Today's shiur was Lecha Nishmas. I don't remember the name, but it was Lecha Nishmaso even without saying the name. Okay. Amen.